Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. We're at the Boulevard Bar and Grill in Murfreesboro. And Nick McDevitt has joined us now, the head coach of the Blue Raiders. And they, you play this weekend. We'll put it that way.
Right. We play soon down in Jacksonville, Alabama. It'll be, you know, right now it's scheduled for Saturday at 4 o'clock. The weather may throw a little wrinkle into that, but
it might be Friday.
It might be Friday. It might be Saturday morning. It might be Saturday afternoon. But we'll play them nonetheless here pretty soon.
Yeah. So how do you feel about your squad to this point?
Yeah,
11-7 on the season, 5-2 in the conference.
Yeah, we're doing pretty well. You know, obviously we're in sole possession of second place right now, 5-2, and as you just mentioned, we're 11-7 overall. And our non-conference schedule was a bear. You know, right now, KenPom still has it ranked as the 8th most difficult strength of schedule in the country, and so to kind of survive it and play the likes of Houston and Michigan and Murray State and Belmont, two teams that are having a great years right down the road from us. UAB, we're able to get some good wins against some of those guys. And right now we're fairly healthy and, you know, a third of the way through league play and got some tough ones ahead, some exciting league home games with Liberty and Western Kentucky next week. So kind of like where we are right now.
Does that out-of-conference schedule, you think, help you with how things may go down the line?
It does. You know, it's obviously it's difficult. Yeah. You hope that as long as it doesn't beat you up either physically or mentally, it should help prepare you for what's ahead in league play. Obviously, when you play teams like Houston and Michigan, you're talking about top 10 teams in the country. You know what that task is going to kind of look like. But as we told our team, there's several reasons we're doing that. One of those is obviously we needed the money. You know, Chris Massaro asked, can we play two of them? And so to help generate money, and it brought in close to $200,000 playing those games. But at the same time, those are the caliber teams you'll play when you play in the NCAA tournament. And you don't want to get there, and your guys are kind of in shock by, you know, in the first half of what that is. You know, now because you've played the likes of Michigan and Houston, you would hope that, you know, you win your conference tournament, you get an NCAA tournament, and you understand what you're up against. And in those scenarios, you're on a neutral floor instead of on somebody else's home court.
Do you call – how's this work? You call Michigan and say, hey, it's Coach McDevitt down here. Where do you got? You guys got any plans November 8th? How's that work?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that goes on. You know, you're out over the summer and you're recruiting and seeing each other in the late spring, early summer. You hear of somebody that's needing games.
Right.
And if it matches up with what you're looking for, you may call them. But there's also – there's just websites out there, too, where you may post, hey, we're, you know, Michigan, and we're looking to buy somebody on these 6 or 7 dates. And then you see it like, shoot, that fits into our schedule pretty nice right there. So you give them a call, and sometimes they're like, yeah, your metrics aren't what we're looking for. We're looking for a lesser opponent. Or it may be the opposite. Yeah, we're looking for a game that day, but we're looking for a P5 school. And so, you know, all right, on to the next phone call.
I think that's how the Smyrna Rec League books their game too, right? Nobody's over on Thursday. So you had Michigan and Houston. What did you learn about your team in those two? Those are two good programs.
Yeah, you know, down 6 at halftime to Michigan, down 5 at halftime to Houston. So I thought our guys were ready to play both. Obviously, we were in there for a long time with Houston. I thought just the physicality that we were willing to play with was important. I didn't think that our guys were scared. You know, sometimes you get in those and you feel like you're down 10 or 15 points before the ball goes up in the air, because you watch your team come in to practice the night before, shoot around, and they're taking pictures of the banners up in the rafters.
Yeah.
You're like, oh man, these guys are in such awe of where we are and who we're about to play. Obviously, there's a high level of respect there that goes on with that, because Kelvin Sampson's one of the best that's ever done it.
Yeah.
And then Dusty May coached against him up close and personal when he was at FAU. And so a ton of respect for what he did, not only at FAU, but what he's doing now at Michigan. And so you want your guys to enjoy those experiences, but also at the same time understand, like, man, when a ball goes in the air, this is a ball game.
Yeah, didn't you – beat FAU that year? They went to the Final Four?
That's right. We were actually the last team that beat them. Yeah. We beat them here in the Murphy Center 74-70, and their next loss was when they lost in the national semifinal game to San Diego State.
You got them again in the Conference USA tournament, right?
We did.
Was that that triple overtime game?
That was the UAB game. The year before, the FAU game, we had kind of a chip shot near the bucket right towards the end of the game, and then we missed a three at the buzzer that would have sent it in overtime. After that game, it's funny you bring that up. After that game, it may have been difficult the next night because that was a night that Eli Lawrence played through an ankle injury. DeAndre Dishman's knee started blowing up a little bit. So that would have been a great one to win, but the next night would have been a little difficult.
Yeah.
It's just so tough. I mean, it's every game's a battle. I mean, every night.
It really is, Joe. You know, you look at league play, and most of the games, they're just close. You know, we're telling our guys, last year we played 16 games decided by two possessions or less. Ooh. We went 11-5 in those games. This year we've already had eight. We're 6-2 in those games.
And there you go.
You know, that's just where you've got to make sure you're really locked into the importance of every possession, man. Like, it's going to – The numbers say they're going to be close. You look at KenPom right now, and it tries to project your future games based on what you're doing and what they're doing, and all of them are 1-3 point games. Yeah, you're going to win, and then you look, oh, it's projecting us to win that game 77-76. You know, who knows it? So they're all going to be close, and so to me, it's about as you go forward, are you happy and are you healthy? You know, are your guys happy about still playing, where they are, what's going on? Because you start this journey in June. Yeah. You know, now the NCAA rules allow you to start working out with your team in June. And so we've been at this thing a long time. So the teams that just they're tired of hearing the coaches and tired of being around their teammates, man, you got trouble over these last 6 weeks. You know, the teams that are still happy about just being around each other, about what they're doing, and your team's healthy. If you're beat up at this point in the season, particularly with your better players, it's going to be hard for you.
Nick McDevitt is with us, head coach at MTSU. You're 8-1 at home.
Mm-hmm.
That one loss is to Belmont, which was non-conference. So how much of an emphasis did you put on of we got to protect our house and make Murphy Center a tough place to play?
All the time. All the time. We tell it. We're pretty straightforward with it with our guys. If you want to win your league, you have to win your home games, and you got to go steal some on the road. And when you're in good leagues, man, winning on the road is hard. So it's really important that you protect home court. The good teams win at home. The great teams can win at home and on the road. And, you know, we've been able to win out to New Mexico State and got one. You know, we got another one coming up here with Jack State. And then next week you got two teams that are really tough. You know, Liberty obviously they've won like 9 in a row, and, you know, they haven't lost in league play. And then you come up right behind that, at, you know, 36 hours later, and we play our rivals from right up the road. So the next 10 days is a tough stretch.
And I tell you what, it's a fun league. It may not be from your seat sometimes, but, like, to watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fun league.
Yes, yeah, somebody told me the other night, it's like, man, you must have some kind of deal going with Vanderbilt Heart Health Center or something. Because, man, you are putting a lot of stress on my ticker. And I was like, man, it's fun. You know, obviously when you come out on the right side of it, but had a couple overtime games here recently in the double OT game against Missouri State the other night. So to your point, Chase, they are fun. You know, they're fun to be a part of, but they're not easy either. They're not easy.
Question of basketball, because I know very little about basketball. You know a lot more than me. 12 seconds to go in a game, you're down one, you get the rebound, and you're going down the court. Timeout or go for it?
I think if you're more organized offensively than the defense looks, I say play it out. But that's something you've got to have practiced. Here's what we're trying to do in a one-point game and a two-point game. This is the kind of bucket we want. If we're down three, here's what we're going to. Sometimes you get teams that they're rattled in those moments defensively. But if when you look out there and you see, like, we got a couple guys that offensively we're not in the spots we're supposed to be in, the other team looks like they're organized and they're matched up and look pretty calm, then I think that's a time to burn it. So I don't think it's a, you know, one size fits all, we're going to call it every time, or we're going to let it play out every time. But I do think you've got to make sure that your guys know what you want in case you don't call it.
Are you 15 seconds ahead in that moment, not clock time, but in your mind time?
For sure. You know, we're usually, you know, myself and our offensive coordinator kind of going over that, like, hey, if we get a stop here, what do you want? You know, and because it's usually kind of a package. You know, we like this based on tonight's matchup. Let's go to Torrey Austin, you know, or this guy on the other team's struggling to guard our point guard. So let's get Javon Carter involved in something. So it's kind of dependent game to game. But I think the biggest overarching thought should be, are you more organized than the defense? Because sometimes there's a missed free throw by the other team. There's a long rebound. You scoop it up. Well, there's a 3-on-2 break. You're not going to get anything better than that. I'd rather play 3-on-3, 3-on-2 than 5-on-5.
Yeah.
And so if you look like, man, don't burn that thing. If you look like you got a good shot opportunity, a good scoring chance ahead of you.
So if you're down one, drive to the hole.
Yes, just put pressure on the rim.
Okay,
put
thank
pressure
you
on the rim, man.
Right.
You know, put some thank pressure you on. Try to get a two. Try to get to the free throw line. Obviously, if it's your best 3-point shooter and he's got somebody's driving to the paint and they get a paint touch and it's a kick out three, well, man, that guy shoots 45% from three. This game may be over right here. And it's funny you say that. We're out at UTEP, down two, and went for three. We went for the win out at UTEP. The young man missed it, but and we intentionally did it. But the reason was Torrey Austin, our starting four, and Chris Loof, our starting five, had both already fouled out.
Ooh.
And our backup five man also had four fouls. Our point guard had four fouls. So we were saying,
what the hell are we doing out there?
We got to win and get out of here, because if this thing keeps going, we're going to run out of players. And so let's bang this thing in and see if we can steal one and get out of here. Unfortunately, missed the shot. But in that moment, it was more like we're in some severe foul trouble, and we got a couple guys that have essentially played the whole game. They're gassed. So let's win this thing and go home.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought up the 3-point thing, because I have a beef with college basketball right now. Now, you guys are good. You're averaging about 10 threes. Yeah, you're averaging about 10 threes a game.
Yep.
So you guys are pretty good from 3-point range. I feel like every game I'm watching, these kids are just jacking them up from all over the court, and you're not seeing as much driving into the basket. Is it because not as many big guys are playing, or is it just that's how the game has changed?
I do think the game has changed. The analytics have obviously kind of forced some of that change.
Yeah.
But now there's so many young men, they grow up practicing their skills. Like, the post players don't just go to the gym and work on post moves and play with their back to the basket. I mean, you watch the NBA, and Joel Embiid is the biggest dude out there, and he's on the perimeter. You know, Nikola Jokic is probably one of the most skilled guys on the planet. He's huge. He's 7'2",
185. But you don't have those guys.
No. But what happens is, that's right, it's a great point, but when a kid's, you know, he's 6'7", when he's 12 years old, that's what he thinks he's going to be. And so all of a sudden, he practices shooting threes and his ball handling, and then there's a day he's 6'11", 7 feet tall, and he's never worked on post moves. He's worked on shooting threes.
Yeah.
And so now, because offenses are so much five out, to that point, Chase, I think it's the other reason why comebacks and big leads aren't like what they once were.
Yeah.
Once there were used to, there's no shot clock, you know, and then their 80s, the shot clock's 45 seconds. If you get an offensive rebound, it went back to 45 seconds. And so you could hold the ball for a minute and a half, and there's probably only one or two guys out there that shoot threes, because the four-man doesn't, the five-man doesn't.
Right.
The point guard is probably a pass-first point guard, and he's not a great shooter. Well, now, man, the pace of play is so fast. There's usually four, if not five, guys on the floor that shoot the three. There's a 30-second shot clock. You get an offensive rebound, it only goes back to 20. So there's just more possession. So sometimes you're watching these games like, man, they've got a 12 or 15 or 18-point lead. Yeah, in the early 90s or the late 80s, that game's over. And now it's like, man, they may be right back in the next four or 5 minutes.
Right. All right, you started in 1997-98 at UNC Asheville. Who's the greatest big man you've ever played against or coached against?
Oof, played against, coached against. Golly, there's been some great ones, because I'll tell you this, my first ever game, college game as a head coach was against Kentucky. and they had Willie Cauley-Stein, Julius Randle, the Harrison twins. Like,
oh, my gosh.
Oh, this is going to be easy. And about three games later, we played Duke at Cameron. They had Jabari Parker, Rodney Hood. And
loaded.
Loaded. Lord. So there have been some great ones. There have been some great ones. And when I was a player at UNC Asheville, we tried to play the defending national champion every year. So my freshman year, to your question, was 97-98. And we went out and played Arizona, coming off the national championship from the year before when they had Miles Simon, Mike Bibby Michael Dickerson.
Yeah.
They had a guard named Jason Terry, played a long time in the NBA.
He did.
Came off the bench for that team. And so that was a terrific team. Really was fortunate enough both as a player and as a coach to play against some great teams, great coaches, and really some of the all-time places to play. We played against Tyler Hansborough and his North Carolina teams in the Smith Center, at Cameron Indoor Stadium, at Duke, at Fog Allen, at Rupp Arena. So, basketball's brought a lot of joy to me and my family because, honestly, been lucky in a lot of cool games and great moments.
Yeah, I get why Jim Boeheim's bald. Why aren't you bald? Right? I mean, you have the perfect head of hair.
Hey, you ask my daughter. She tells me all the time, like, Dad, you're old and your hair is gray.
Yeah, but you got it. And it's nice.
Hey, it's still there. Chip Walters said to me a couple weeks ago, hey, it getting gray is fine. It just can't get loose.
Real quick, Rick Ensel going for win number 500.
It's unbelievable. 500. I mean, really, you think about how long of a stretch you have to be really good.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're winning 25 a year, it's going to take you 20 years to get to 500. I mean, that is incredible. You know, college basketball is so competitive. It's so hard. And to be that good at it that long is – And it wasn't – it's not really a surprise. You know, he's been terrific at middle. But, obviously, right down the road at Shelbyville High School, he's winning national championships, state championships. He does it his own way. You watch his practices, and it's unlike most practices you'll go watch.
Right.
But it works for him, you know. And they've had some great players, and it's fun. Some things you can go watch practice and pick up on that it's something that you may not see somewhere else. But I know he means a lot to the people on campus and in this community, and has done a lot for girls and women's basketball in Middle Tennessee for a long time. I mean, he had great players being recruited by Pat Summitt, Gino Auriemma, and, you know, they've played all over the country. And, you know, there was a time where Nike – sponsored two high school programs in the country. Oak Hill Academy boys basketball, where all the great players played in the 90s and 2000s, and Shelbyville Central girls basketball. And, you know, you go in Coach's office, and back when he was a high school coach, you see pictures with him and Phil Knight.
That's pretty
and
awesome.
And, you know, he's just he's a women's basketball legend, and, you know, hopefully he gets that 500 tomorrow night.
It's a requirement whenever you come on. I got to ask you a NASCAR question.
Oh, man.
Here we go.
The new chase
format.
Is bat.
The new format. Or Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
Know, I like it. You know,
yeah, I'm here for it.
I'm a fan of it. I do like the extra points for the win,
yep.
But not guarantee you a spot in the chase.
Yep.
I do like the extra points to get to 55. It kind of keeps the ringers of the old days. You know, I'm this is a knock on SVG, but, you know, it kind of keeps that that you gotta be good week in and week out, but also that there's not that elimination. Like over the course of 10 races, you could have in the chase, that is, you could have had one bad race, but if it's on that third race of a knockout stage,
you're out. Yeah.
And you know, to me, that was it's like, man, that's pretty tough to have a guy that clearly should have won it and not. So, you know, you wonder if did it go to that format so that they could break up what Jimmy Johnson was doing year after year after year.
Well, that's exactly why they changed it.
Exactly. Yeah. To break up it being boring and the monotony of it. But, shoot, he was winning them. You know, he was winning all of them. So I do like the new going back to the way it was.
Yeah. So Chase is going to reboot his Chase and Checkers NASCAR, Nashville's only NASCAR big-time show. He needs a co-host.
Oh, yeah.
I just found your co-host. Hey.
He's a little busy right now, but when he gets
come
done,
April.
I'll be guest host, baby. I would love it.
I'd love that, too. That'd
Let's
be fun.
Do
we
it.
Could, we
Let's
could have
do
some
it.
Because I run into him at
all the races.
At all the races at Super Speedway. And The Cars Tour is coming to the fairgrounds this year, which will be cool. So
I took my son Cooper a couple years ago. We went down to Talladega for his first race outside of Nashville. And last year, took him over to Bristol, and we're going to try to get over to North Wilkesboro.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They got they're back on the schedule this year. It's not just the All-Star race.
Oh,
but,
yeah. I want to try and go to that one, too.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
I remember running into you at Nashville, and your son was all excited about meeting – who was it they got to meet? Crap, I can't remember. It wasn't Chase Elliott, but it was Drives for Spire, and I'm blanking on his name right now, but it'll come to me in a second.
Yeah,
Carson Hosevar.
Oh, he did meet Carson. Yeah, that's right. Meet Carson. We were up there for the truck race.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, we were up there for the truck race, and we come around the corner, and there's Carson Hosevar, and he just sat there and talked to him for a little bit. And, he started pulling for that 77 car bit. And, because of that, I mean, you know, he's got to meet Alex Bowman and Chase Elliott and those guys, and it's so different. You know this. Like NASCAR, it's like that would be the equivalent of talking to LeBron James 45 minutes before the Lakers play.
Yeah.
You just don't get that access in other sports outside of NASCAR. But you can be down there in the pits and you're talking to a guy that's trying to go win the Daytona 500 in a few minutes. And he's willing to sit there and spend some time with you.
Appreciate the time, Coach.
Absolutely.
Good luck this weekend, whenever that game is.
Yeah, whenever it is.
we'll let everybody know.
To win it whenever we play it.
Yeah, for sure. Nick McDevitt joining us, MTSU men's coach. We'll have more coming from the Boulevard here in Murfreesboro next, 102.5 The Game.